Be prepared. Now, that's been the motto of the Scouts movement since it was founded in 1907. And as a cub and then a Boy Scout, I had those two words drummed into me. Be prepared. They are words that have served me well, not only in outdoor activities, but also in other aspects of life. Be prepared. And they are words which summarize what Jesus is saying in this passage that we're looking at this morning. But before we dive into the passage, let's just think a little bit more about being prepared. Because when I'm off climbing hills up in the Lake District, I reckon there are two sorts of ways I can be prepared. The first way is by being prepared for the expected. Being prepared for the things I know will happen that day. I can listen to the weather forecast and know that today is a day to bring my waterproof jacket and trousers, so that when the dark clouds appear over the horizon, as expected, I've got the kit and I'm prepared for the rain. But there's another type of being prepared, isn't there? There are things I do and things I bring when walking that mean that I'm prepared for the unexpected, prepared for things that might happen today, but I have no way of knowing whether they will. I have no idea whether today will be the day I get stuck in a ravine for the night with a badly broken ankle. But I can still be prepared by telling people my route before leaving, by bringing extra jumpers and a first aid kit and so on. I don't know when those sorts of things will happen, but I can still be prepared for them. So two ways of being prepared. Prepared for the expected and prepared for the unexpected. And these verses from Mark's Gospel divide into those two different ways of being prepared. In the first half, verses 24 to 31, Jesus wants his disciples to be prepared for the expected. Jesus gives them a sort of forecast of what they can expect to face in the near future after he's gone. But in the second half, verses 32 to 37, Jesus wants his disciples to be prepared for his unexpected return that will one day happen, but will be unpredictable. So let's look at the passage in those two halves, starting with Jesus preparing his disciples for what they can expect to happen. So do please take up your Bibles again. Turn to page 1019. As we look at Mark chapter 13 and verses 24 to 31. Now in this part of the passage, Jesus is still answering the question that the disciples asked back in verse 4 of chapter 13. Jesus had told the disciples that the temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed. And the disciples wanted to know, when would this happen? And what would be the signs that it was about to happen? And as Andy was explaining to us last week, Jesus predicted that the build-up to the destruction of the temple would involve massive political unrest, wars, and a period of great distress and chaos. The build-up to destruction would not be a happy time. And then would come the destruction. That's what verses 24 to 25 are about. When Jesus says, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Jesus is using dramatic, symbol-laden language from the prophet Isaiah. It's the language of judgment and it's about the end of an era. A universal era change is happening. Something that affects the whole of creation. And the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem is the earthly sign that the old order of things has come to an end. The lights are going out on the old order of things. The sun is darkened. The moon no longer shines. The stars drop out of the sky. The lights have gone out on the temple. It was the center of worship to the true and living God, and now it will come to an end. The lights are going out, and they will go out with a bang. because a new era has begun. A new order of things has started. The era of the Son of Man has arrived. The era of Jesus has come. And in verses 26 to 27, if you have a look at those, Jesus shifts from Isaiah language to imagery from the book of Daniel, to images of the enthronement of the Son of Man. The true universal King has arrived, and the new universal era has started. And this new era will not be characterized by a building in Jerusalem, but by international followers of the King. The King's chosen elect, gathered from all over the world. There will be a spreading international kingdom of chosen people, otherwise known as the Church. Jesus has given his disciples a forecast of what is coming. There is an era change taking place, and it's not going to be gentle. Jesus is going to be enthroned in heaven. The old era of the temple will cease, and the new era of Jesus' international kingdom will begin. So Jesus warns them in verse 28. He warns his disciples, "Learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door." Jesus leaves the Old Testament imagery and starts talking to his disciples much more straightforwardly. "Learn this lesson from the fig tree," he says. Now for us, snowdrops that are coming out at the moment, they're a sign that spring is on the way for us. But for people in Israel, fig leaves were a sign that summer was coming. And Jesus' point is simply that just as summer follows on from the sign of the fig leaves, so the destruction of the temple will follow on after the wars and political unrest that will come. They will be like a sign letting the disciples know that it's coming. Because Jesus wants them to be prepared. So he gives them the forecast now, so that they will see the signs of it coming over the horizon, so they can be ready. But there is still the question of when. Is this forecast for tomorrow, for next year, next decade? When will these things happen? So Jesus says in verse 30, "I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Jesus is saying to the disciples, this is something that will happen in your own lifetime, within this generation. Within your lifetime, everything will be shaken up. The old era will come to an end with a bang, and the new era will begin. And in all the upheaval, Jesus' words will continue to be reliable and true. Whatever the chaos, Jesus' words will remain stable and eternal. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, giving them a forecast of what will happen in their lifetime, so they can be prepared for it. But what does it mean for disciples today? Because we stand, of course, in a different time to those disciples. Jesus was forecasting great upheavals that would come during the first century. But we look back on those events as being in the past. We don't need to be prepared for those events. They've already happened. So what do these verses mean for us? Well, I think one really important thing is that these verses give us great confidence in what Jesus says. Not just here, but generally. You see, Jesus accurately told his disciples about the future. Just as he predicted, 40 years after his death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, the Jerusalem temple did indeed fall after years of war. And just as predicted, a rapidly spreading international kingdom of God grew. Jesus' church grew and is still growing even today, even here in Kilnest. These historical events prove that Jesus' words were reliable. He told his disciples the truth about the future. And if he could reliably tell those disciples their future, then I think he's worth listening to about our future and how we should live accordingly. And verses 32 to 37, the next bit of our passage, are about that. They are about living as disciples of Jesus in the now as we look to the future. So let's take a look now at verses 32 to 37, where Jesus moves the question on, moves the discussion on to answer another question. It's a question which arises from the answer he's just given. Because if the old era is going to end, and the new era of Jesus is starting, then when is the era of Jesus going to end? When will the kingdom be completed? When will Jesus return in judgment to gather his elect together, completed and fulfilled? That's the question Jesus is answering in verse 32 onwards. The question of when is the day? When is that day when the Lord returns, when the era of the Son of Man, the era we are now in, ends? And Jesus' answer to that comes in verse 32. He says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Now, there have been lots of people throughout history who have predicted the end of the world and Jesus' return. One of the most recent was Warren Jeffs, of the Fundamentalist Church of the Latter-day Saints, who predicted the end of the world would come on the 23rd of December, 2012. When it failed to happen, he blamed it on his followers' lack of faith and moved his prediction to a week later, on the 31st. Now, we can laugh when these predictions don't come true, but they can easily unnerve us at the time. But Jesus says, nobody knows when the time will come. Not even the angels or the Son know, but only the Father. So what hope have any of us got in predicting it? We just don't know when we will come face to face with Jesus. We just don't know. Now, that could leave us with great anxiety and worrying, living with the uncertainty of never knowing whether today is the day. But Jesus doesn't want us to be anxious like that. So he has a simple solution, which he gives in verse 33. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Jesus' simple solution is be prepared. Be ready, always ready. Because if you are always prepared, you are always ready for Jesus' unexpected arrival. So just be prepared. It's a simple solution, and Jesus then gives an illustration to explain what he means. Jesus says in verse 34, it's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. So the owner has gone off. That's Jesus in the story. And he doesn't look like he's going to be back anytime soon. Because he's left his servants in charge, each with different tasks. One of whom is the doorkeeper, the porter. And it's him, that the doorkeeper, who disciples are to be like. They are to keep watch, always ready, always prepared for the return of their master, who could come back at any time. Even at the times they would least expect him to come back. You see, people didn't travel much at night in those days. There weren't street lamps, and it wasn't safe out in the dark. So the times when you really wouldn't expect your master to return from a long journey, would be during the four watches of the night, evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. You'd have thought you'd be pretty safe getting a nap then, but Jesus says no. Always be prepared, always watching, always alert, no sleeping, and not even during the night. You're always to be prepared for the return of your master, even when you least expect him. Now, Jesus isn't saying that disciples shouldn't sleep or take rest. It is an exaggerated story to make the point. And it is a simple point. Disciples are always to be prepared to meet Jesus. Always ready. Because you never know when you will come face to face with him. You never know when he'll return. Indeed, it's the same principle of coming face to face with Jesus when we die. We never really know when that's going to happen either, until it does. So Jesus' advice to his followers about how to live their present lives is to live as if Jesus might walk through the door at any moment. To always be prepared to meet him. Because if I'm always prepared, then he won't find me ignoring him and refusing to listen to him. He won't find me doing things my own way and doing things I shouldn't be doing. If I'm always prepared, then if and when he does come, he will find me right with him, trusting him, confessing my sins to him and trying to live his way. And not perfect and sinless, but following him. Jesus' solution is simple. Just be prepared. Be ready, always ready, to come face to face with Jesus. Because if we are always prepared, we're always ready for Jesus' unexpected arrival. It's a simple solution, but let's not pretend it's easy either. Because it's so easy and so tempting to drift away from Jesus for a while. To have a little break away from him and think we'll come back later. It's easy to not be admitting and being sorry for our sin and to be just carrying on with what I want or to be doing stuff that I hope Jesus won't notice or find out about. I know I can be like that. Which is why this passage asks us such a good question. It's an uncomfortable question, but it's a good and helpful question. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to meet Jesus? Right now, are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you trusting Jesus? Is your life orientated towards him? Are you turning away from your sin? Are you right with him? Are you prepared? Because if you are not or are not sure, then you probably need to turn to Jesus and do something about it. If you've wandered off for a break, then you need to turn back. Because Jesus wants to help you be prepared. He wants you to be ready. For disciples of Jesus, are you prepared? Is a question we should really have tattooed on the back of our eyeballs. It's a question we should be asking ourselves every day. Are we prepared to meet the Lord face to face right now? Are we ready? Because we never know when he will come. And Jesus wants his disciples to be always prepared. So why not find a way of asking yourself that question each day? Stick a sticker on your screensaver. Write it on a mirror. As a reminder to be prepared. Because we do not know when the Lord will come. And it may well be when we least expect it. So just be prepared. Amen.